Welcome. Come in, find a quiet place, and settle your heart.
Yes, welcome.
To you listening right now, our brother or sister in Christ, we are so very grateful you have joined us today. In a modern world that often feels, well, chaotic and dark and, frankly, overflowing with noise, it is vital that we intentionally set aside moments for spiritual grounding.
It absolutely is.
And that is our exact purpose for this reflection today. We're going to carefully examine a remarkable Wednesday night message. This teaching was delivered by Brother Mike on March 4th, 2026, at the New Life Benson Congregation. It is titled, Spiritual Strongholds.
Right.
Our sincere goal in this study is to look at what a spiritual stronghold truly is, how we so easily build false ones in our own lives, and how relying on Christ is the essential foundation for Christians trying to faithfully move forward today.
It is a genuine blessing to be here with you and to share in this exploration. But before we get into the theology of Brother Mike's lesson, I think we need to understand the room he was speaking to.
Oh, absolutely. The context is so important.
It really is. Listening to the recording of this service, you are immediately drawn into the intimate, family-like atmosphere of the New Life Benson congregation. The gathering opens with a few everyday details of a thriving church family. We hear about a member named Steve returning refreshed from a meeting led by theologian John MacArthur.
And he mentioned that striking detail, right?
Yes. The detail that a 50 to 60 man choir completely filled the stage.
Praise God. What a beautiful image.
Truly. And there are brief updates on their monthly Mission Lighthouse concerts, and they take time to lift up members in prayer.
Exactly. They bring real, everyday struggles before the Lord. They earnestly pray for a member named Renee, who is dealing with a stressful sale of her father's property.
Mm-hmm.
And they intercede for Valinda. She was actually rear-ended in a four-car collision in Tucson earlier that day.
Just a scary situation.
It is. She was sent home with a slight concussion, and the congregation simply wrapped her in prayer. It's from this solid bedrock of genuine communal fellowship that Brother Mike launches into a highly challenging premise.
He really does not hold back.
No, he does not. This is the first part of a two-part series, and he begins by observing that when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives and ask him to take the reins, we very often fail to address the invisible walls we have spent a lifetime building. We bring old habits and barriers right into our walk with the Lord.
And to understand what those invisible walls are, Brother Mike takes the congregation through the historical Old Testament definition of a stronghold. In the ancient world, a stronghold was a tangible, physical, elevated structure.
Made of stone and timber.
Exactly. It was built for absolute defense. It was a place of refuge where the population would retreat when trouble and enemies were approaching on the horizon. He uses the famous example of the walls of Jericho to illustrate the sheer, massive size of these defensive barriers.
We hear about Jericho all the time in Sunday school.
We do, but we rarely pause to actually consider the architecture of those walls.
The scale is truly staggering when you break down the measurements. Brother Mike points out that the first wall of Jericho was 6 feet wide and 40 feet high.
Which is massive on its own.
Right. But the second wall was an astonishing 9 feet wide and 40 feet high. Just imagine that in your mind for a moment, brother or sister. A 9 foot wide stone barrier in the sky.
It was literally the width of a two-lane road.
Suspended 40 feet in the air, yes. These were not simple picket fences. They were impenetrable mountains of stone designed to keep out any conceivable threat.
And King David knew these physical strongholds very well. During his younger years, we read about David in the wilderness of Ziph. He was actively hiding from King Saul in the literal physical strongholds of the country.
Because Saul was hunting him.
Saul sought his life every single day, and God provided these literal rock formations as a physical place of refuge. The rocks protected David from the spears and armies of his enemy. But what is so fascinating about David's journey is how his understanding of that word evolved. He eventually flipped this entire imagery completely on its head.
He absolutely did. And we see that shift documented clearly in the book of Psalms. In Psalms 18.2, David declares, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my stronghold."
What a beautiful verse.
It is. He echoes this again in Psalms 27.1, saying, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The change taking place in David's heart is significant here. A stronghold went from being a physical place you hide in to a living person you run to.
A living person, yes.
It shifted from cold, unfeeling stone walls to the living Lord. You no longer have to climb into a cave in the wilderness. You can trust completely in the creator of the universe to provide and protect.
What a comforting truth for the believer. But as the biblical narrative moves forward from David, we see a tragic turn.
We do.
The prophets begin to issue grave warnings against counterfeit strongholds. The Israelites begin putting their trust in idols, in political alliances with neighboring nations, in accumulated wealth, and in fragile human strength.
They started building their own walls again.
Exactly. Brother Mike brings up the words of the prophet Jeremiah, specifically Jeremiah 2.3, which paints a devastating picture of this foolishness. Jeremiah likens these false idols to broken cisterns.
And for the listener who might not be familiar with ancient plumbing, a cistern was an underground reservoir carved out of solid rock, specifically designed to store precious rainwater.
Very important in that region.
Absolutely essential. In a desert climate, a functioning cistern was the difference between life and death during a drought. But the prophet does not just call their idols cisterns. He calls them broken cisterns.
Because they have fractures in the stone.
Right. They can hold no water. The tragedy of a broken cistern is that it leaks silently. You might desperately need water to survive, but because of the cracks, the water has slowly seeped into the ground, leaving you with absolutely nothing but dry dust when the harsh sun beats down.
The congregation at New Life Benson took that ancient agricultural metaphor and applied it directly to our modern lives. They discussed what these leaking, worthless storage units look like for us today.
This was such a fruitful part of the discussion.
It really was. One congregation member shed a highly practical thought about relying on wealth as a stronghold. He noted that even currencies, stocks, or precious metals like gold, which society views as the ultimate secure refuge, are just broken cisterns.
Yes, he made a very compelling point.
He pointed out that if society loses its faith in that currency and your family is actively starving, having $1 million in gold is entirely worthless compared to having a simple sandwich.
That is so true.
Ooh.
When the drought comes, wealth simply cannot sustain you.
No, it cannot.
Another modern equivalent was brought forward by a sister named Kim, and her insight regarding social media is something every Christian navigating today's culture needs to hear.
Please share that, yes.
She highlighted how these platforms cause people to constantly project a false image for the world to see. People desperately desire to convey a perfect, curated life to strangers on the internet instead of finding true, lasting security in being fearfully and wonderfully made by Jesus.
What a profound reflection.
It is. When our stronghold is simply what we want the world to see, rather than who our Savior says we are, we are pouring our time, energy, and self-worth into a broken cistern.
Brother or sister in Christ, we must pause and examine our own lives here. Are we building fortresses out of earthly materials that will ultimately fail us? This leads directly into Brother Mike's central warning of the evening.
The core of his message.
Yes. He taught that man has ultimately made a stronghold of himself. As we grow up, we develop specific attitudes, coping mechanisms, habits, and prejudices. We build these internal barricades brick by brick over a lifetime to protect ourselves from getting hurt. And the tragedy is, we justify these walls.
We do justify them. Think about how often we hear someone say, or even say ourselves, well, that is just who I am.
Far too often.
We use our personality or our past as a shield, excusing poor behavior by claiming it as our unchangeable identity. Brother Mike demonstrated remarkable vulnerability by sharing his own personal testimony regarding this exact issue.
He was very open with the church.
He was. He shared that he accepted Christ as his Savior when he was around 20 years old. But he confessed that he did not realize until he was 74 years old, 54 years later, that he had built a massive stronghold of anger within his own heart.
54 years?
Yes. He described it as having a sourpuss attitude, being quick to be harsh, and harboring a generally negative demeanor.
Imagine carrying the heavy, exhausting burden of anger for over 5 decades. Brother Mike recognized the immense damage those internal walls cause. Strongholds of pride or anger block our daily fellowship with Christ.
They build a wall between us and the Lord.
And furthermore, they severely damage our witness to the lost world. Unbelievers cannot break through a harsh, judgmental exterior to see the love of Christ, and we cannot escape from behind the walls we built.
It isolates us completely.
Brother Mike pointed out how these unyielding attitudes sever ties with people we care about. We might cut a family member off in a fit of anger and proudly think we have won the battle. Meanwhile, that other person goes on with their life, while we are left sitting alone in our fortress, carrying a bitter burden all by ourselves.
That reality brings up a convicting question that Brother Mike posed to the congregation. And it is the exact question we must ask ourselves today.
What was that question?
When we go to the altar at church to pray, and we ask the Lord for forgiveness, do we actually leave our bad attitudes there at the altar? Or do we merely perform a symbolic act of submission and then turn around, pack up that exact same heavy baggage, and carry it right back to our seats?
That is a piercing thought.
Do we consciously leave the stronghold of our pride at the feet of Jesus? Or do we put it back in our pocket and take it home with us?
Leaving that baggage at the altar is a true act of spiritual warfare, which is exactly why the Apostle Paul uses such striking warfare imagery in Ephesians 6.1.
I love this passage.
Paul writes, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." Brother Mike took the time to explain the historical context of those flaming darts.
The actual Roman weapon.
Right. The enemy in Paul's day did not just throw a sharp Roman javelin. They would wrap the weapon in material, fill it with highly flammable fuel, and light it on fire before launching it at the opposing army.
The terrifying part of that ancient weapon is the mechanics of what happens upon impact. When that flaming dart hits its target, it does not just pierce the wooden shield or the armor. The fuel splatters upon impact, and the fire spreads violently and rapidly.
It creates chaos.
Total chaos. And Brother Mike perfectly mirrored this historical weapon to how the enemy attacks believers with lies and temptations today. A lie might start as a singular internal thought, but when it is fueled by a bad attitude or harsh verbiage and delivered to a spouse, a child, or a fellow church member, it splatters.
It spreads destruction to everyone nearby.
Yes. If we leave our internal strongholds unaddressed, those lies take root, become reinforced by our biases, and ignite a fire in our lives that feels impossible to put out.
But we can rejoice, because the lesson does not end in despair. It ends with the glorious hope of tearing down those walls.
Praise God for that.
As Brother Mike concluded his teaching, the members of New Life Benson shared encouraging testimonies of how they responded to the call to dismantle these internal fortresses. We hear from Renee again, who shared an incredible revelation.
What did she say?
She admitted that she had always thought the word stronghold was a purely negative thing, a symbol of bondage. But as she studied this lesson, she realized that Jesus is the ultimate positive stronghold.
Oh, that is wonderful.
She noted that physical structures, even modern steel and concrete, will eventually fall to the ground. But Jesus is always greater. He is a stronghold that saves us from our own mistakes. And it is our faithful obedience to him that extinguishes the enemy's fiery darts.
What a blessing to understand that. Another sister shared a highly relatable testimony about the illusion of control. She realized that her need to constantly manage everything her children, her husband, her surroundings was, in fact, her own personal stronghold.
So many of us struggle with that.
We truly do. She felt she had to be the one telling everyone what to do to keep her world safe. But she experienced the liberating peace of discovering that she is not actually in charge of a single thing.
Amen to that.
The Lord is the one in charge of her every single day. She admitted that letting go of that control is a massive brick to break through. And what a necessary brick to dismantle if we want to experience the peace of God.
We also must reflect on Kim's touching story of healing. She shared that her life circumstances had taught her profound lessons in not trusting people.
Such a difficult burden to carry.
Yes. After enduring betrayals that made her feel unworthy and cast aside, her stronghold became a thick fortress of mistrust. Learning to trust God, to read his word, and actually believe that he is completely trustworthy has been a difficult ongoing process for her. Yeah. Her internal walls were built very high.
But the breakthrough came when she realized she did not have to believe those old lying strongholds anymore.
Exactly.
She knows now that her worth is not defined by the betrayals of her past, but by the Savior who pursued her. Brother Mike encouraged her with a remarkable statement. He reminded her that God knew her before she was even born, and that God made every single chromosome with her name on it.
Every single chromosome.
Out of all the billions of people on the face of the earth, there is not another soul exactly like her. Her immense worth is cemented in the Creator's design. When you understand that the God of the universe crafted your very chromosomes, the walls of mistrust begin to crumble.
Brother or sister in Christ, as we bring this reflection to a close, let us carefully summarize the core message we must carry forward. We are living in a dark, uncertain, and frequently hostile world.
We certainly are.
When the pressures of this age bear down upon us, our natural human instinct is to retreat. We want to hide behind the broken cisterns of our own habits, our accumulated wealth, our curated social media images, or our stubborn pride. But those false walls will inevitably fall, and their water will leak into the sand.
We must stop retreating to fortresses of our own making. Instead, we must deliberately run to the only true and lasting stronghold, Jesus Christ.
He is the solid rock.
He is the person who provides, protects, and sustains. He is the solid rock that no enemy can ever breach. When we lay down our anger, our need for control, and our deep-seated mistrust at his altar and actually leave him there, we are finally free to live as he intended.
Before we sign off, we want to leave you with a final lingering thought. Something for you to ponder in the quiet moments of your day. It is a question that builds upon the insights of the New Life Benson congregation, but pushes us to look forward.
Here is the question to carefully consider. If Jesus is your true stronghold, a fortress that can never ever be breached by the enemy, how does resting in the absolute security change the way you step OYT of your comfort zone to bravely witness to a broken world tomorrow?
If you are entirely safe in him, you no longer need the defensive walls that keep others at a distance. You are free to love boldly and speak the truth with grace.
Thank you, dear listener, for joining us in this study. We pray this message has challenged your heart and uplifted your spirit. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and as you navigate the days ahead, may you always rest securely in the peace of the Master's hand.